Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Good evening, Amazing Grace. It is once again a privilege and an honor to come into your living rooms this evening. And I truly believe that God has a message for the church. And I just thankful, very thankful that God has kept you safe. He has kept us safe during these pandemic times. But I'm ready to go with this wonderful Bible study. And so I'm just praying that you would pray with me there. Right there on your couch, in your living room, wherever you're at, your bedroom, and pray that God's anointing, God's grace, God's mercy will be upon this message, and that the saints of God would be edified and built up. Praise God, praise God. And so, pray with me as we go before the throne room of grace, and we'll get into our Bible study this evening. Amen. And so, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, I'm just praying, God, right now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, God Really Does Care For You. God Really Does Care For You. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's read together verses 5 through 11, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have His way this evening. Can I get an amen? Praise God, praise God. And so I'm excited. I'm excited about this Bible study. And if you have your Bibles, let's go there. Here we are. 1 Peter 5 and 5 through 11. Let's read. And it reads, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Say that with me, saints of God at home. "But gives grace to the humble." That is very key. Verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may," what? "Exalt you in due time." Look what verse 7 says. Verse 7, "Casting," say that with me, "casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant." Why? "Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world." And let's go to verse 10 here. "But may the God of all grace," say that with me, saints of God, "but may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you had suffered a while, perfect, established, and strengthened and settling you, to Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen, amen." Saints of God, I'm so blessed that this message should edify and build your faith up. Why? Because we're going to go through this study this evening to show you through the Word of God that God truly cares for you. How many of you at home can just honestly say that? I truly believe that God cares for us. He cares about every aspect of our life. Can I get an amen? So let's look at this right here. At low points in our lives, we may be tempted to believe that we don't really matter to God. Well, I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that He does. He does care for you. And everything that we do matters to God. Why? Why? Because He loves us. He created us. And so, saints, the hardships, the difficulties, and suffering we experience may seem like, it seems like evidence that the Lord doesn't care. Oh, but saints of God, He does. He does. He does care. But that statement is not true. Some of the greatest saints in Christian history have endured unimaginable suffering without doubting God's love for them. That's right. And so, my friends, although the Lord has not promised us an easy life, and He hasn't, Even in the middle of our trials, we can know with certainty that our lives matter to Him. That's right. My life matters to Him. Your life matters to Him. And so, saints, to matter means to be of importance to someone. And that is how God feels about His people. He knows each of us intimately, including our sins, our failures, and our weaknesses. But still, God loves us and He values us. Even in the pain and suffering He allows in our lives. That's right. He is still caring for us. And His promises, say this with me, saints, His promises have not failed. Praise God. So, saints, one of God's promises is found in Hebrews. Let's go there. Let's go to Hebrews right here. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. And here's the key. For He Himself has said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing to know, saints of God, that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us? He will be with you in the midst of turmoil. He'll be in the middle of your situation. He's in your boat. I hope you know that. When storms come, when they rage in life, He is right with you to comfort you, to bless you. Praise God. And so, saints, when John the Apostle wrote this, the epistle of 1 John, he was an old man, probably between 80 and 90 years of age. His letter was addressed to believers. And the first three verses of chapter 3, which we're going to dissect this evening, he encouraged them regarding God's love displayed in their salvation. So, if you have your Bible, let's go there. Let's go there right now. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 3. Look what it says here. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called what? Children of God. You are a child of God. I hope you know that. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. Now we are. Praise God. And it has not been what? Revealed what we shall be. But we, when we know, we shall be revealed and we will be like Him. Look at that. When He is revealed to us, we will be like Him. Why? For we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Wow. Wow. Saints of God, we're going to be just like Him. And what does that body look like? Well, we all know that when He rose on that third day, He was seen amongst over 500 people. Yes, right. And what I loved about it is He would appear and then disappear. That's right. Yes, He would. He would appear and disappear. My goodness. And He also ate. That's right. He ate fish and bread with His apostles. That's right. So that lets me know, for those of you who love to still eat, we'll be able to eat with those new bodies. Praise God. I'm excited. So, saints of God, salvation begins with a realization of a separation from God because of our sin. Then knowing Jesus is what He has done on the cross. We trust Him to save us, to forgive us of our sins, and to reconcile us back to God. That's right. We were all lost at one time. That's right. We were foreigners. We had no clue. We were heathens, according to the Word of God, Gentile heathens. But God had mercy. God came looking through the highways and the byways, looking for you, looking for me. But look what it says in Ephesians. Paul wrote to the Ephesians church. Look at this right here. And it says, for He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. You see, there was a wall between us and a holy God, having established in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Look at verse 16. And that He might reconcile, say that with me, that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting Look at this. To death the enmity. That's right. That wall, that bridge, that gap where at one time we could not even touch and honor and worship and praise the Holy God. We were lost in our minds. We had no desire for God. And yet he quickened us. He drew us to the cross. Praise God. Look at this. And he came and he preached peace to, look at this, to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Isn't that a blessing, saints of God? Isn't that a blessing to know what God did for us? How now he has bridged that gap. And now we can communicate with the Holy God. Now, when we go through our infirmities of life, our ailments, he is there to touch us, to bless us, to heal us, to reconcile us. We serve a mighty God, my friends. I hope you understand this. And so, saints, once we are truly saved, we are forever changed and can never be the person we were before Christ. Why? Because we are now united permanently to God for all eternity. What? That's right. Listen, this body of flesh one day is going to expire. This body of flesh that I'm living in right now is going to go back to the ground. It's going to go back to dust. But my soul and spirit, hallelujah, God is going to give me a new body. He's going to give you a new body. And we will live with him forevermore. And so the guarantee of this assurance is the Holy Spirit who comes into our lives to live with us forever. That's right. I'll show you right now in Scripture. It says it right here. Let's go to Ephesians 1 and 11. Look at that says. It says, in him, look at this, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. What? That's right. God has a will and an inheritance for us, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of God. Of his glory. Praise God. Look at verse 13. In him you, say that with me, saints of God at home. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now look at verse 14. This is key. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? There you go, right there, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and glory, hallelujah, to the glory of God, hallelujah. Man, somebody should be praising God at home right now. That's right, that's right. So saints, as children, we are children of the Most High God. We should be sensitive to sin now, right? Can I get an amen? And desire to read his word and live an obedient life, a godly lifestyle. You see, saints of God, when we do commit to sin, well, and we shouldn't, here's the key. We can come back and be cleansed when we fail God. Why? Because he's the loving God. But if we continue in it, he will discipline us as a lovingly heavenly Father. Praise God. And so, my friends, although God allows trials in our lives for a variety of reasons, sometimes he uses them to turn us back to him in repentance. Praise God. This is how God operates in our life. Because we live in a body that's frail. This body is very sinful. This body we live in will sin all by itself. That's right. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to live within us. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is a constant reminder of his goodness, his grace. We should always remember where God has delivered us. Hallelujah, for such a time as this. Look what it says right here in Romans. Look what it says in Romans 2 and 4. Or it says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness, look at this, his goodness, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It is him. It is God. It is him alone that leads you to repentance. That's right. Come on, just remember, before you got saved, just remember what you were doing in life. For me, I was up to no good. That's right. Man, I was wayward. when the custodian at Horizon Christian Fellowship saved me, I had $500 of crystal meth in my sock. That's right, at the age of 30. And with a prayer of faith, he led me to Christ. God delivered me within a millisecond. I had no longer a desire for that drug. I no longer had a desire for the things that one time had me bound and chained up. It was but the grace of God that came and saved a wretch like me. And many of you have a similar testimony. Now, there are many people that I know that never had that wayward testimony. But some of them just had a void in their life. And they needed God. And so God puts that little void in our life. Why? Because we're sinful. And that little void, that little tugging in our heart is because he's calling us. He's calling us through his love. Well, I just read that scripture. His goodness leads us to repentance. Praise God. So let's look at some principles here. I want us to see this. The evidence of God's care for us. That's right. He does care for you. He cares for me. Praise God. You got to believe that. He's been caring for me for 61 years. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Through the aches and pains, through the trials, through the tribulations. That's right. Through good times and bad times. He has taken care of me and he has taken care of you. Praise God. And so, saints of God, although we may feel that we don't matter to anyone in this world, as God's children, we matter deeply to him. And the Apostle John gives us evidence that demonstrates his care for us. Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, it does. So we're going to look right here. We're going to look at biblical principles found in 1 John chapter 3. I want to dissect these first three scriptures. Why? Because there's a whole lot. I like to say there's a whole lot of meat in here. That's right. That's right. There is. And so let's go there right now. 1 John. Look at this is our first principle. 1 John 3:1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us. Look at that. His love. Just as I mentioned, just go back where he found you. Some of us were knuckleheads. Or some of us were just self-righteous. It doesn't matter how the condition you were in. He still sought you out and brought you to his bosom. He gave us the faith to believe. He gave us goodness and grace to believe in his wonderful mercy. He had mercy upon us. This is how much the Father loves us. The display of his great love is seen in all that he has done for you and me. And so, saints of God, one of the key things that he has bestowed upon you and me is this right here, salvation. That's right. You know that song, Amazing Grace, how he saved the wretched like us? Oh, yeah, salvation. He gave us now eternal life by faith. At one time, we were headed to hell in a handbasket. That's right. Without Christ, we would be in hell. That's right. I honestly believe that if he didn't save me at the age of 30, I probably wouldn't be here standing behind this pulpit giving you a word of faith this evening. It was his grace. It was his mercy. It was his love. That's right. You see, my friends, God reached down into our lives through his word and opened up our minds, our hearts, to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicted us of our sinful condition and our need for forgiveness. Praise God. Knowing that Jesus was the only one that could save us, we trusted in him for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. And so, look what he has given us. He has given us salvation. The Father bestowed love upon us. Let's look at our next principle right here. It's found in sanctification. Sanctification. For those of you that are probably unfamiliar with this word, all it is that he has set us apart. He has set us apart from the culture. He has set us apart from the world's mindset. And now he's downloading us daily with his spirit, his presence, his word, his comfort, his healing. Oh, yes. You see, the Lord set us apart for himself so that we can live for Him. Praise God. Are you living for Him? I hope to say that that I am living for Him because I love Him. I love Him. I know I'm not the same person when I was at the age of 30. But praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not the same person as I used to be. His Spirit now sits on the throne of our hearts. It's guiding our lives, giving us understanding of His Word, empowering us to obey God, and transforming us into the image of His Son. Oh, yes. Let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at Hebrews 10:14. Look what it says here. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being what? Sanctified. That's that word. He has set us apart. He's doing a mighty work in our lives. And the key is allow Him to do it. Look at this. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. After what days? When Jesus, hallelujah, died, rose again. Then He went to be with His Father. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost was poured out. And for the past 2,000 years, now God has been saving millions and millions and millions of people since the cross. And now He is sanctifying them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's read that again. Verse 15. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after He had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put My laws into their hearts, into their minds, and I will write them. You see, before in the Old Testament, they would have to write down the scriptures. They would have to write down the laws. But God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has written them on our hearts by faith. And look at verse 17. Then He adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What? That's right. Let me just say this. Knowing this truth, it doesn't give us a license to sin, no. But we know now, praise God, that all of our sins have been eradicated at the cross. It was the blood of Jesus that cleanses a man and a woman from their sins. And so now when God the Father looks down and He sees us, guess what? He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see my sin. You know what He sees? He sees the blood. Yes, that's right. The blood that has washed away our sins. Can I get an amen on the couch? Come on. Give them praise and glory. I want to give them praise and glory for that one. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You should be praising God. Hallelujah. That all your sins have been eradicated by the cross. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, let's look at this. He also, the Father has bestowed upon us provision. This is all in provision. And sanctification, we read that, salvation, and now provision. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that He has been providing you? I'd like to go a little further. I believe before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, He has been providing for you. He has been watching over you. Why? Because we've been elected. We've been chosen by God. And when God has made a sovereign choice for you and for me, guess what? The gates of hell will not prevail. That's right. Nothing will stand in the way of God for your call, for your salvation, because He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. And God has promised to provide all of the needs of His children. Oh, that's right. Where is that found out? Right here in Philippians. Let's look at this scripture. Philippians 4:19. And my God, say that with me at home. And my God shall supply all your need. What? According to His riches and glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed to know that God has done all this for you and I? That's right. Why? Because He loves us. What was the name of this message? God really does care for us. Can I get an amen? And so saying salvation would have been enough just to be saved from our sin, from diverting, for not allowing us to go to a fiery place like hell. That was good enough. But God also commits himself to supply all of our needs. That's right. All of our needs. Why? Because he cares for you and I. His resources are inexhaustible. And our blessings in Christ are abundant. That's right. That's right. So, provision, salvation, sanctification. And guess what else that's awesome? That's so awesome is this right here. We are blessed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He lives inside of us. He gives us joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's right. I remember, saints of God, when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, the corners of my mouth were pinned to my ears, and I was filled with so much joy. I must have called up, 50 people that day when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and every one of them was hanging up one by one. They were probably saying, what is this boy on now? Well, guess what? I was high on the Most High. That's right. I didn't need the drugs no more. I didn't need the alcohol. I didn't need all those things that were held me bound. Now God has given me a heart to worship him. You see, when Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, you know what that really means? That means that we are no longer bound to our sin, and we are now free to worship a holy God. We are free to praise him and to glorify him. We are free now to go into his kingdom and to serve him with our whole heart, soul, and mind. That's what God has done for you. That's what God has done for me. Praise God. So upon our salvation, saints, the Lord sent his Holy Spirit, what? To indwell in us. And so without him, we should be powerless to live the Christian life. Saints of God, this is why I'm pleading with a lot of people that just say a simple prayer and they just go on with their life as like nothing has ever happened. No, you need to ask God to fill you with his power. You need the Holy Spirit. Why? Because that Holy Spirit will sustain you. It will empower you. It will bless you. You'll be allowed now to operate the gifts that God has given the church. That's right. Some of you right now, I believe God has called you to be a pastor, an evangelist. That's right, a teacher. That's right. And maybe some of you are running from that call. Well, here's the key. Cry out to God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will empower you. And you will take that next step of faith. And then God will propel your ministry. That's right. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. So now, let's look at our second principle here, found in John chapter 3, verse 2. Look at this. Beloved, we are now. Look at this. Now we are the children of God. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to know? That now, the moment of salvation, you become a child of God. And we all understand the special love of parents they have for their children. Yet this is only a shadow, saints of God, of the great love and care God has for us as his children. Look at this. He has showered us with spiritual blessings and promises, and nothing can ever separate us from him. That's right. Paul wrote to the Roman church, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. Not death. Not hell. That's right. No kind of sin. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Amen. Amen. So now, let's look at our third principle. It's found in 1 John 3, 2. Look at this. And it has not been revealed what we shall be. That's right. You know, it's hard to imagine when we look at each other, when we in church or we fellowship, we're socializing. You know, for me, for the past 30 years, I believe, you know, my hair's all gone. You know, I'm a little heavy now, you know. But we have no clue what that new body's going to look like. We don't. That's why it says, and it has not been revealed what we shall be. You see, I truly believe the same body that God gave his only begotten Son when he rose on the third day, that's going to be a body. Jesus was the first prototype. That's right. No one on this earth has a body like his right now. And the Bible says we will be like him. What? Yes, we're going to have a body like him. We'll be able to just appear and disappear. We'll be able to live forever. That's the most awesome thing. But my greatest joy will be we will see our Maker face to face. And we will glorify Him. We will magnify Him. We will praise Him. We will worship Him. And we will thank Him all that He has done to save us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. So saints, what we see now in our world and in our human condition is only temporary. So hold on. Don't throw in the towel yet. Don't give up yet. If we look at our society, we could become discouraged. Look what's happening right now. The pandemic 19 and all that. The COVID-19. Some people are discouraged. They want to go back out into society. You know, business as usual. And a lot of people are discouraged. Why? Because it is worse than it has ever been. That's right. I've never seen anything like this in my whole lifetime where the whole world is locked in. Many do not know God or understand us. Why? Because they have ignored or they have rejected Him. And so, saints of God, the busyness, the riches, and the pleasures of this world threaten to draw our attention away from the Lord and distract us from reading His Word. We need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? Yet the Scriptures are what we need in order to live as God desires. His commands do not deprive us of anything, but gives you and I, what our Heavenly Father knows what is best when we obey them. Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go to our fourth principle here. And look what it says. But we know, look at that. But we know that when He is revealed, we will be like Him. Wow! Isn't that a blessing to know? You see, I might have went a little ahead of myself regarding this scripture, but God's word is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so you need to take this word of God and cement it in your heart, knowing that we're going to be like Him. But we know that when He is revealed, we will be like Him. This is the promises that God has given to the born-again church. That's right. What did I mean by born-again church? There's millions of churches around the world, but He's looking for a church within a church. That's right, because not everyone in every church is saved. Not every one of them have been born again. The ones that have been born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, that have repented of their sins and now have a changed life. The old man is dead and they have a brand new life. And they have the Holy Spirit living within them. That is, or those people that I'm referring to, are going to be like Him. That's right. Those people. That's right. And so when He returns, when Christ returns, we will be raised to be like Him. In the greatest chapter on resurrection, look what Paul wrote. Look what Paul wrote right here. He wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ, say that with me. But now Christ has been raised from the dead and are the first fruits of those who are asleep. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you at the end of this message, where you'll have an opportunity to be raised, hallelujah, just like Christ was raised. Praise God. So saints of God, God not only provides everything we need for this life and godliness in the present, but even greater provision awaits for us in the future when we are resurrected with the glorious bodies. Praise God. And although we do not know what heaven will be like, we have the promise that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we will be with God forevermore. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to give God praise and glory at home. Come on. Give Him praise and glory. You know, hallelujah, that your name is written in the Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. Man, just to know that it's registered, it's sealed with God. Hallelujah. That gives us great hope and assurance that we will see Him once again. Now, let's go to our fifth principle here. Look at this. In 1 John 3:3. And everyone, say that with me. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is what? Pure. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, our lives matter because God desires the best for us. That we live pure, holy lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't live holy in the flesh. It's got to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Knowing our glorious future should be to motivate us to obey God's word and be led by the Spirit of God. Man, I am so blessed. I am so blessed to know that you and I were destined. We're destined to glory. That's right. I'm going to share just a little testimony. A little testimony, then we're going to close. You know, my friends, from the age of 15 through 30, I was rebellious. I wouldn't obey my parents, my teachers, let alone the law. At the age of 15, I was introduced to marijuana. And then at the age of 18, cocaine and all these other things. At the age of 21, I got married to my first wife. And it was my fault that that first marriage was destroyed. I couldn't blame her. She was just following me. And I introduced her to the things of this world. I'm talking awful things. Drug life, party life, that kind of life. And I remember that after 8 years of marriage and after 8 years living of a life of debauchery, God had to do something. He had to do something in my life. I didn't know then what I know now. I didn't know that He had a call in my life. I didn't know that salvation was for me. Matter of fact, I mocked people that called themselves Christians. Matter of fact, before I came into the saving knowledge, I was basically an atheist. Grew up in the Catholic faith, but had no desire for the things of God. And I remember when I was with my first wife, we were coming back from a trip in Alpine. We were up in the mountains. I had my son and daughter. My daughter, she was only maybe 6. My son was 3. And we were driving back. We're all sitting in my Ford Explorer truck in the front seat. And we got in a fierce argument. It was a horrible argument. You know, the filthy language and the potty mouth going back and forth. And it was horrible. And I was so enraged. I was so bitter. I was so angry. There was no peace in my life. And when we got to the place where we lived, you know, she said, I want you out of this house, and just started slandering things. And we were doing it to one another. And I went upstairs and I grabbed my shotgun and I pointed it at them from on top of the stairs. And my 2 kids were wrapping around her legs and they were horrified. And it was almost like a voice came to my mind. And it was, all it said was, drop it. Drop it. And I dropped that shotgun. I ran out of there. And I departed. I got my things. I got in my truck and I left. And so from that moment on, we were separated. At that time, our place was in Linda Vista. And I only had one place to go. And my younger brother, he allowed me to stay with him in Chula Vista on Flower Street. And so that's where I was living for a while. And I remember I woke up one morning and I needed to redo. It wasn't Costco at the time. I can't remember what it was, but yes, that's what it was. The Price Club. And so I had to renew my card. And so here I am. I'm standing in line. And someone taps me on the back. And I turned around. I said, yeah? He goes, hey, man, you look like a good candidate. Would you like to make $60,000 in about a month? I said, what? You know, right away, ka-ching, ka-ching. You know, and I said, well, what do you do? He goes, well, I'd like to show you a presentation. You can come over to my house or I can come over yours. I said, well, you know what? Here's my number. Let me get your number and I'll confirm it. I'm staying with my brother right now in Chula Vista. And so we exchanged phone numbers and the next day, here he is. He's coming. He's coming right now. He's coming with these leather bags. Now, at that time, he was dressed in a Navy suit. I believe he was a lieutenant in the Navy. But when he came the next day, he was in civilian clothes. And he had two big leather bags. And so he knocks the door. And my brother and his girlfriend, we greeted him at the door. And we asked him to come in. And now we're all sitting at the couch. And the first thing he pulls out of one of those leather bags was a box of Amway soap. I said, oh, no. Listen, I knew what that was. I've seen it before. I was disappointed. But the first thing I said, I go, John, his name was John. I said, John, I'm sorry, but I need to come clean with you. He goes, why? I go, listen, I can't use your company and the things that you're selling right now. I said, I'm in my third drug and rehab. I told him that I'm physically and mentally addicted to crystal methane. And I said, I try to stop and I can't. And you know what he said to me? He said, stop right there. I know someone that'll set you free, not only set you free, but give you eternal life. And I looked at him, I said, well, if he works at the Schick Center, I don't have $5,000. No, he said his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins and mine. And all you have to do is receiving by faith. And I started thinking for a moment. And then it's almost like a religious spirit rose up in me. And I heard in my mind, oh, now he's trying to push religion on you. So once I kind of thought that, I said, you know what, John, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I cannot use your business and I definitely cannot use your religion. I believe our meeting's over. So he started putting his soap away and everything. And before he left, he gave me a business card. He says, you could find me. He goes, you know what? I'm a minister at this church here. And on the back of his card, it said Horizon Christian Fellowship. So I thought nothing of it. I took his card. I put it in my wallet. And off he went. Now, every other day, he would call. And I would tell my brother's girlfriend at that time, I am not home. I was avoiding him like the bubonic plague. I don't want nothing to do with him or his religion. So a week goes by. And I remember it was a Thursday night, 31 years ago. And it was a cold night. It had just rained prior to that evening. And so I drive all the way from Chula Vista to Linda Vista. And I pull in front where my wife and my two kids were. And it was about maybe 9 o'clock at night, very cold. And I knocked. Finally, she opened the door. And I said, hey, I'd like to come in and see the kids. And she said, no, I can't. I can't let you in. I go, why? And right away, I was thinking the word, oh, you got some dude up there already? And she goes, no. She said, your daughter's up right now, and I don't want her to listen to what I need to tell you. I go, well, tell me, it's cold out here. She goes, for the past 8 years, you showed me the drug life, the party life, the life of debauchery. You're selling the drugs now. Your family's in law enforcement, and they keep warning you that if you continue, we're going to get raided and away with our children. They'll take them to another home, and you'll be in prison. She goes, I'm sorry, But my mom took me down to the courthouse and I filed divorce. I said, what? Man, you're talking about being distraught. See, we used to play this game, argue, fight, separate, and then come back. It was a vicious cycle. And she was fed up with it. And I didn't know how to receive it at that time. And I started cursing at her. I started screaming at her. And she was shaking. And then I said, I'm out of here. I got into my car and, you know, I was giving her the high salute, the whole works, you know, just blasting her with my mouth. It was filthy. And so I drove around the corner, and on the corner of Ulrich and Linda Vista Road, there was a Shell gas station. And so I needed gas. So I pulled in there. I took my wallet out to see how much money I had. And as soon as I opened up my wallet, it's almost like someone took that card that that man who was trying to sell me Amway, it fell on the seat of my front, right there in my on my seat, on the driver's side. And so I picked it up and I said, oh my gosh, this is only about maybe a mile away from here. I got my gas. I drove down Genesee, and right on the corner of Genesee and Mount Elephant, there was a junior high school. It sent Horizon Christian Fellowship. I pull right into the driveway. There's no cars. It's about 10 o'clock now at night, and it's cold, and I got out of my car, and I was just walking around moping, and I was just so distraught, and then I looked up, and there was a classroom at the very end of the building, and there was a chain link fence in front of it. And so I walked all the way down the path of that chain link fence, and that last classroom, there was a light on, and there was a custodial cart in front. And I saw that there was a man vacuuming the classroom. So I walked all the way to the end of the fence, and I yelled out, hey, hey! And he heard me, and he turned off the vacuum, and he came outside. And when you come outside from a lit room into the dark, it's almost like your eyes got to focus. And he goes, who's calling me? I said, I'm right here by the fence. And he zeroed in at me. He started walking toward the fence. He goes, can I help you? I said, yeah, man. When's the next mass? He goes, well, we don't have masses here. We do have services. And we have them at 10 in the morning. We also have them at 11:30 and at 6 in the evening. I said, cool, man. Thanks a lot. I started walking away from him. He said, wait a minute. Come back here, man. He goes, this is my last classroom. I got all the time. He goes, there's a puzzled look on your face. You want to talk about it? Now, this is a total stranger. I don't even know this guy. And yet, I started pouring out my heart to him. I lifted up my pant leg, and he saw this big old bulge in my pant leg. I go, you know what that is? He goes, I told him, I'm physically and mentally addicted to crystal methane. I go, I'm in my third in drug rehab, and I can't quit it. I can't shake it. I'll go through maybe one day without it, and I need it. And now my family has left me. My job's ready to terminate me at Western Lumber. I don't know what to do at this point. He goes, stop right there. I know someone that'll set you free. Not only set you free, but give you eternal life. I said, who, man? Who can help me right now? He said, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God who died for your sins and mine. And all you have to do is receive him by faith. And he'll come into your life and he'll give you a brand new life. And I started thinking now, I didn't hear that religious spirit like the one man shared with me a week ago. And I said, man, can I come back? Can I come back Sunday? He goes, no, man, right now. I go, what do you mean right now? He goes, pray with me. I said, I don't know how to pray. He said, put your hand up against mine. And there's a chain link fence between us. So he put his right hand up and I put my left hand, almost touching his hand on the other side of the fence. He goes, bow your head down. And he said, pray with me. I go, man, I don't know how to pray. He goes, that's okay. He says, pray with me. And this is the prayer that I prayed. I prayed this prayer 31 years ago. And it went just like this. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I've been a sinner all my life. that I believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. I believe the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart now. You know how you end a prayer? By saying amen. I never got to amen. As soon as I said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, a whoosh came right over me. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't stop weeping. It was almost like someone turned on the water spigots and tears were flowing down my face. And I couldn't stop crying. But here was the difference with this cry. Now, one person that was very close to me, was the closest person ever to me, was my grandmother, who basically raised me. And when she died, I wept and I wept. But the difference between that cry and the cry after I asked Jesus to come in, it wasn't tears of sorrow. It was tears of joy. It was tears of joy. I'm telling you, it was though I was lifted up in the sky. It was almost like I was lifted up a few feet from the ground, in which I know I wasn't. But I felt that. I felt a cleansing come upon me. I felt like I was brand new. I had this joy I could not comprehend. And I asked the custodian, I go, man, what's happening right now? He goes, calm down. He goes, the Holy Spirit just came upon you. And here I am crying. He goes, look up in the sky. And I was looking up. He goes, do you feel the wind blowing? I go, yeah. He goes, can you see the wind? I said, no. He goes, right now the angels in heaven are rejoicing that you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My friends, I'm telling you, God did a miracle that evening. And so we exchanged phone numbers and I got in my car and I drove all the way from Claremont back to Chula Vista. And as I was driving home, I kept rolling down my window, sticking my head out of the window. I said, God, thank you. Thank you. As soon as I got home, I went straight to the restroom and I took that pouch that I had and I emptied all the little bags, the $10 bags, the $15 bags, all the little bags of dope, and I poured it into the big bag. And then I took the big bag and I flushed it down the toilet. And I had no more desire for it. No more desire. I even went into my room and I gathered all the girly books that I had under all that filth. I put it in a trash bag and I went to the back and I threw it away. And the next morning, I was compelled to go buy a Bible. My goodness. I'm telling you, radically, in a moment's time, God changed my life. Wow. And so that happened on a Thursday night. Few days later, on Sunday morning, I was in that church, Horizon Christian Fellowship, and I was so excited to be there. Now, I had no clue what the Bible was all about. All I remember, Mike McIntosh was the senior pastor at the time, and I remember, he said, turn your books to the book of Philippians. I said, oh my goodness, they have Filipinos. They have Filipinos in the Bible. You see, my father's Filipino. I was wondering, I wonder if they have the book of Mexico, because my mom's Mexican. But that began my journey. And that very same day, I remember I had brought my children. They were in children's church. So the service ended. And I came out, and I almost ran into this girl. Almost knocked her down. You know how you say you ran into someone? I literally almost ran her over, you know, trying to get to my kids because there was a whole bunch of people. And I grabbed her arm. I said, I am so sorry for bumping you. She turned around and looked at me. And she goes, Fee? Fee Sullivan? And I looked at her. I go, Elisa. This was a friend I knew from the sixth grade. She was a cheerleader on our football team at Sweetwater High School. And she was there visiting that day with her husband because her cousin's baby or child was dedicated to the Lord. So they were just a guest. And one thing led to another. We were just, she goes, how long have you been coming here? I go, this is my first day. And she goes, how long have you been saved? since Thursday. She goes, you're just a baby. I go, she goes, I'm assuming you never got baptized yet. I go, no, I heard the pastor say that they're going to do a big baptism in the ocean in summer. I go, I'd like to go. She goes, well, the church I go to will baptize you on the spot. I go, well, where do you attend? North Park Apostolic Church. Really? All right. Well, I want to. Let's exchange phone numbers. So we exchanged phone numbers. The next day came. I called her, told her, yeah, I'm excited. And so her husband, Dave Calvani, met me there at that church that evening after I got off work. And man, I got baptized in water, came out of that water. And remember I shared I had this joy that from Thursday night? I had greater joy. I couldn't comprehend it. And little did I know that God had a plan for me. I shared this story because some of you right now, some of you are my Facebook friends. Some of you are maybe logging into YouTube and God's been calling you. And maybe you heard the voice but didn't understand it completely. But now he's saying, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, my friends, the Bible's clear that Jesus is soon to return. The things that we're going through in this life right now, the pandemic, the earthquakes, there are more earthquakes than ever in the history of this world. And earthquakes are springing up all over the world right now. Jesus said in the book of Matthew that right before he returns, that there would be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes in various places. Yes, there will be pestilence and famines. And also, there'll be many leaving the faith. I'm here to let you know that God is saying, secure your place with him. Surrender your life to him. The Bible calls it repent. Repent. Turn. It's a 180-degree turn. You're going the way of the culture of this life, and God's now calling you. He's calling you. That's right. He's calling you to be blessed. I want us to look at this scripture right here. I want you to look at this scripture closely, and then we'll close. And then we'll invite you to receive Christ. But let's look at this. This is an assurance. Jesus said that when he returns, those who have died in Christ will be raised from the graves. And we that are alive, that are still here on earth, we're going to be caught up to be with God. This is called the rapture of the church, the taking away, the snatching away. Why? Because once the church is out of the way, then God's going to pour out his wrath. You see, this whole existence here, before we go into the millennium, the thousand-year millennium, he has to end it with judgment. That's how God works. He is God and we are not. And his word is true. And yes, and amen. But here's how you can secure. This is the evidence in the word of God. Look what it says. Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at the next verse. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven and with the shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. Look at this. And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Look at verse 17. Say this with me. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up. Caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds. Look at this. To meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. My goodness. Therefore, frighten one another. No, don't say that. It says comfort. Comfort. These are words of comfort. Knowing that God is coming for us. He's about to return. We're seeing all these things take place just like the Bible said it would happen. We are in those days. Everything's converging into all the prophecies that have been prophesied before he returns. Israel's back in the land. Zion is built up. All the nations right now, a lot of them are at war. And there's rumors of wars. There's rumors of a war with us in China now. It's a rumor, but that's what Jesus said. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. My goodness. Saints of God, it's time now to turn back to God. For those of you maybe that have been running from God, God will say, hey, stop. Put the brakes on. I got a better life for you. Maybe some of you right now who have never given your heart to God, God is now pressing upon your heart that you would turn to God. And so here's the key. Here's the key. It's found right here in the book of Acts. This is the first, very first sermon preached by one of the apostles. I'd rather listen to this preaching of the gospel because it was written 2,000 years ago and it still applies today. Look what Peter said. He said, then Peter said to them, repent. That means turn to God. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And look at this, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's eternal life. Once you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's eternal life. But look what the benefits that come with it. Verse 39, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Wow. Wow. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing to know? Listen, I shared my testimony. I shared how God delivered me. I shared what took place. And you know what was really great news? My children and even my ex-wife, they got saved. And they're living for God. And I'm even friends with her. That's right. When you come to Christ, there's no more enemies. Can I get an amen? All the hurts of the past has been washed now under the blood. And if you want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, I'm going to ask right now that you would pray with me. That's right. Pray with me. Ask God to come into your life. Ask God to save you. No differently than what happened to me. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. You will experience the true love of God, the joy of God. His blessings will come upon you. He will save your children and your grandchildren. That's right. He'll give you a better life. If that's you right now, bow your heart and your head with me. And pray this simple prayer. It was the prayer that I prayed earlier in my testimony, but we're going to complete it this time. I hope so. I don't know what's taking place in your heart, but I'll lead you through it. So let's pray. Pray this with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give them a shout of praise. Hallelujah and glory right there in your home right now. Give God all the praise and glory. Praise Him for what He has done in your life. Thank Him for what He is doing, even in the times of turmoil right now. And so, my friends, I want to just thank you once again for tuning in this Wednesday evening. And I pray that if we have blessed If we have blessed you, then on your screen, when I sign off, you'll know how to get a hold of us. We want to hear from you. We got a whole lot of free things we love to give away. You can go to our website, download this actual sermon. Yes, an MP3 sermon. You could download our PowerPoint. You could download my sermon notes. That's right. It's all for free. That's right. But one thing I do ask is that you'll see on the bottom of the screen that donations are deeply appreciated. So whatever you do, whatever you can send our way to bless our ministry, we will just praise God and say, glory to God, hallelujah, for you are good. And so before I leave, I want to say this prayer to you. I want to send out this prayer to your home and that God will continue to bless you. And I can't wait to see you guys again on Sunday. I really miss the saints of God. And I truly miss the fellowship. I love you all, and you know that. And so, allow my prayer to come forth. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Saints of God, once again, thank you for tuning in. And I'm looking forward to Sunday morning's message. I hope you log in and you can catch us on Facebook and YouTube. Until then, I want to say I love you. God bless you. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.